So the Holy Family is the model for every other family. And every time I preach about this, well, not every time, but sometimes people will come up to me and say, Father Dan, do you realize you just set a pretty high bar for me, like Saint Joseph or Mary? And I say, yes, but I set an even higher bar for your children. It goes both ways, kids. So we have to take our medicine, so to speak. And the first reading, this is my dad's favorite verse. Every time this comes up in the readings, and it's been a while since I've been at church with my dad. It's been a long time, but even back, I don't know, 8, 10 years ago when I would have been next to him in church once in a while, he would always elbow us when it came to this part. My son, take care of your father when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives. And this is his favorite part. And if his mind fail, be considerate of him. Where's my wallet? Where are my keys? Where's my phone? There are so many times when it's a temptation to maybe not outwardly revile your father, but to like despise him. How can he not know where his keys and phone and wallet? Like this has gone on for a decade, 2 decades. Or you're driving down the road, like you're on the way somewhere important. Like, I don't know, you're going deer hunting or maybe just to the movies. It's always when it happens is when it's like, oh, we don't want to be late. And he'll say, oh, darn it, or something like that. And he forgot something. And then we have to go back. And I have to be patient with my father. Well, these are these moments where we really have to receive God's word for what it is. God's word, and obey it. As parents, those of you who are parents, you on this feast day, you are invited to meditate on Joseph and Mary and also to ponder things that we don't really know, but to wonder at them. What was prayer like with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph? What kind of time did they spend together? How did they meditate on Scripture or how did they, most people are awaiting the Messiah if they're observant Jews. So what would that have looked like for Mary and Joseph? Because they're not awaiting anymore. They're busy taking care of him, and we heard of that in the gospel. But the biggest thing that we hear in this gospel is obedience. Joseph is obedient to God. God tells him to up and go, and he does. Tells him to go over here, and he does. Tells him to come back home, and he does. And he sets an example for Jesus. This is one of the baffling things about God, that he chose human limitations. Jesus chose human limitations. And he chose Mary and Joseph to be the ones who would teach him how to love God. And Joseph, in particular, how to be a man of God. His mother, how to be a model of faith and a model of courage. When Mary said yes, she didn't know all that it would mean, but she knew that she would risk her life to have this child. It would be a threat to her life because she wasn't married and she would be pregnant and you could be stoned for that according to the law. She said yes anyway. Joseph teaches Jesus how to be a man of God, and this amazing first 30 years of the life of Jesus, we know very little about. Why? Because of how Jesus was. He was obedient to his mother and father. I think it's all of these years are almost, they're almost all summed up, except for the finding of Jesus in the temple. Almost the only other thing we hear is that he went down to Nazareth and submitted himself to Mary and Joseph. He was obedient to them. He would have humbly and patiently learned his father's trade as a carpenter. And he would have obeyed. And this is kids. Okay, is it ever hard to obey your parents? Don't raise your hands too high, but just acknowledge that. Remember this. Okay, it's hard. Why is it? First, I'll ask you, why is it hard? Now, don't answer out loud. Okay. Because honor your parents, right? Don't answer out loud, but why is it hard to obey them? Because sometimes they're not perfect, or sometimes they forget where their keys in their wallet are, or sometimes, well, to be honest, most of the time we probably just don't like it. And for those of us who are a little older, to honor your parents and to treat them as though, hey, they actually might have something to teach you. Why is it that we find such a hard time doing this? Honestly, a lot of the times, it's because we think we know better. The world has changed. Mom and Dad, the world's changed. Okay, that doesn't make any sense anymore, okay? I can see Mary and Joseph saying, oh, wow. Oh, well. But really, God has asked you to obey them. He's commanded. He didn't ask you, excuse me. He didn't ask you to do anything. He commanded you to obey them. And you might say, well, that's really hard. That's really hard to do. Or to honor them if you're a little bit older. At least to honor them and to learn from them. Sometimes to forgive them. We also heard about that. You know, you might have to forgive your parents for something. In fact, I suppose we all have at some point. But if you think it's hard to obey or honor your parents because you know so much and they're not in touch anymore, just remember this. Jesus is God, and he obeyed humans. God obeyed human beings. Jesus submitted himself to Mary and Joseph and obeyed them. And he honored them. And he learned from them. God learned from human beings. Because he's accepting human limitations, he's learning. Now he's not learning like how to be God or something like that. He is the Son of God. He is consubstantial with the Father. But he is absolutely setting an example for us. This is for you as a child of your parents, whether you are an adult or whether you're two, to obey your parents is to honor God. And if it's possible for Jesus to do, it's possible for us to do. Especially if he commands us to do it, he gives us the grace. This is a great grace to us. And it says, children, obey your parents. This is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children so that they may not become discouraged. That's my older brother's favorite verse, by the way. One other translation of this, because I know it so well, is do not exasperate your children. Don't tie all these heavy burdens on them. And the invitation here, as we see, is in the Christian community, is there's a mutual submission in love to one another where we honor the other. But it's especially important in a family. It's not always a mutual submission, and you don't submit yourself to your children, so to say, but you do if you, as a father or a mother, you don't exasperate them. You don't lord it over them. You're a servant leader. There's a level of a sensitivity to say, okay, right now what my child needs is maybe for me to come alongside them and help them with what they're doing. Or maybe right now what they need is me to be really firm and have some consequences. The Holy Spirit gives wisdom for this. If this is your task, if this is your vocation, if this is your calling, God has given you as a parent a grace that nobody else has to know how to love your child and how to raise your child, how to discipline them, how to encourage them, how to forgive them, how to lead them. But we need to be pondering the Holy Family, and we need to be asking the Holy Spirit and invoking the Holy Spirit. Family life is very, very important to God. There's a lot of scriptures we heard all about family life, forgiving one another, avoid any bitterness, let go of resentment. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, especially husbands and wives towards each other, especially that. But let's also remember, why is family life so important? Well, how do we know it's so important? Well, because Jesus chose to be raised in a family. He could have come straight out of heaven as a 33-year-old man and went straight to the cross, but he didn't do that. He came to restore all things, even family relationships, which seem the most impossible a lot of the time. But he came to restore all things in himself. And the Holy Family is an example and a promise of that. That God wants to restore all things. And he wants to make new what's been broken and where there's been unforgiveness and where there's distance. All you can do is your part when it comes to reconciliation. You can't make reconciliation happen. That takes at least two people. But you can do your part to ponder the Holy Family, to ask the Holy Spirit, how would you have me live? What is the thing my child needs? Or give me the grace to honor my father, honor my mother. Give me the grace to acknowledge that my mother has this authority over me, that if I submit to, I'm going to be very blessed. And it gives specific blessings in some cases. The Holy Family is very important for us. And this feast is very important for us because, as I said, the Lord is teaching us how to love through our family and how to be loved. You can't really love unless you've been first loved yourself. And yeah, there's a lot of other ways other than the family to do that. But the family is a really important one. It's where we all start, hopefully, or at least the Lord wants that for us. It doesn't always happen in the same way as having a father and mother around. Obviously, my family is, I've got some biological siblings and I've got some foster siblings. But the family is what God intended. And what's been marred by sin or by war or by whatever, the Lord wants to restore. He's teaching us how to love one another and how to be loved. So we should take this to heart and really take some time this Sunday to ponder, again, to ponder the Holy Family. What did Joseph do in this situation? Because believe me, he was in some tough spots. What did Mary do in this situation? She was in some tough spots. What did Jesus do in this situation? And then to ask the Holy Spirit for his wisdom and for his grace, to obey what the Lord is asking of us, and to bring love and to receive love in our family.